All right, John chapter 6, verses 1 through 14. Let's read it together. After these things, Jesus went over the Sea of Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias. Then a great multitude followed him because they saw his signs, which he performed on those who were diseased. And Jesus went up on the mountain, and there he sat with his disciples. Now the Passover, a feast of the Jews, was near. Then Jesus lifted up his eyes, and seeing a great multitude coming toward him, he said to Philip, "Where shall we buy bread that these may eat?" But this he said to test him, for he himself knew what he would do. Isn't that like the Lord? Philip answered him, 200 denarii worth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may have a little. One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said to him, "There is a lad here who has 5 barley loaves and 2 small fish, but what are they among so many?" Then Jesus said, "Make the people sit down." Now there was much grass in the place, so the men sat down, in number about 5,000. And Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed them to the disciples, and the disciples to those sitting down, and likewise of the fish, as much as they wanted. So when they were filled, he said to his disciples, "Gather up the fragments that remain, so that nothing is lost." Therefore, they gathered them up and filled 12 baskets with the fragments of the 5 barley loaves, which were left over by those who had eaten. Then those men, when they had seen the signs that Jesus did, said, "This is truly the prophet who has come into the world." Amen. If we could all just take a moment to pray and ask God to minister to us through his word today. Lord, we pray that your presence would be here, God. Your word is anointed. You are powerful. Your word is powerful, God. Touch our hearts. Change us today in this place, Lord. Have your way, O God, in the name of Jesus. I want to speak to you today as you're seated from this thought, when mama packs my lunch. In our story, in the scripture reading today, we learned about a little boy who shared his lunch. The word lad is used to describe this boy, and we don't know much about him. He's briefly mentioned, and then the gospel writer just moves right along. But we can decipher a few clues about this little lad. First of all, the word lad, as translated here from the original, means a young boy. This was a child that brought his lunch that day to see Jesus. Judging by the meaning, we can discover that he was very young, a small child to a young man, about 12 years old. Do I have anybody who's any young boys who's 11 and under in the house today? This was a young boy, a little boy. We know that much about him, and we also know that he was likely poor, because the bread is described as being made of barley. And in Bible times, this was a common grain for the poor. They couldn't afford other types of grain, so they would have barley bread. So here we have this young, small boy, just a child, who came to hear Jesus. He was poor. He came from meager means. And he brought his lunch with him when he came to see Jesus. Now, I know sometimes we read this story and we move right along and we don't think very much about this little boy. But as a mom of 4 boys, I got to thinking about him. I have a couple little boys in my house under age 12 and a couple others who once were a lad just like this one. And I got to thinking, that little boy brought his lunch that day. But how did it get there? I propose to you that behind every little boy carrying his lunch around is someone who helped him pack it. Amen. Maybe it was his mama that morning that said, "You're going to go see Jesus and you're going to be prepared." so I'm going to pack you a lunch. Maybe it was his father that prepared the lunch that day. Maybe it was an aunt or an older sister. The Bible doesn't tell us, but we can defer from this passage that this little boy had this lunch, and he probably had a nurturing, caring individual in his life that cared enough about him to make sure he had some sustenance. He had some food. Someone took care of him that day. I could imagine that it might have been his mother. Any moms in the house ever packed a lunch? When that mother was packing a lunch that day, little did she know that her efforts would meet together with the miraculous power of Jesus. And this little boy discovered something very special that day. When mama packs my lunch, miracles happen and people receive what they need. God can use even a little boy with a meager lunch. He can use the craziest of circumstances to perform a miracle. Why? Because as the scripture we read said, a sign unto those around them, a sign that he has all power, that he can do anything, and nothing is too hard for our God. The great orator Charles Spurgeon once said, take each member of the church individually. He is a child, but take us all together, and we are the mother. The church. The church is like a mother left in this world that she may reach the lost that are still hiding away in the caverns and the strongholds of sin. Think about this. If God would have willed it, he might have brought the lost out of darkness by his own power without the use of any instrument or any vessel. He could have chosen to save the lost by just zapping us with his grace and mercy and just reaching into our hearts in some miraculous manner like he did into the heart of Saul when he was going down toward Damascus. But God has not chosen to do so. God has chosen to take the church to be his spouse, his bride. He's chosen to bring us to himself through his church, her ministers, her children, her works, her sufferings, her prayers. God uses the effort of his bride to reach people. It is through his bride that his spiritual kingdom is increased, giving birth, if you will, to babies in the kingdom. It is through his bride that these babies are nourished and fed. They're grown and cared for. It is not the efforts of ministry alone, but it is the church. I would say that the church proves her right to take to herself the title of a mother. The church has a job to do. And as a mother would nourish her child and raise up her child, it is the church where we turn to be raised up and to be nourished. I know many of us in this room today have had a baby. And maybe if we haven't, you've been around someone else who's had a baby, or you've been around babies a time or two. And there's some things to be said about babies, if you've ever had them. Have you ever heard the old saying, I slept like a baby? I think that the person that said that never had a baby. Babies take an enormous amount of time and attention. They require us round-the-clock care. They require our time. Babies take an enormous amount of our energy, and all the mothers with young babies and children say amen. They are exhausting. They take our energy. They keep us up through the night. They get sick and they need extra care. Babies take an enormous amount of money. If you've ever had to buy diapers and formula and beds, cribs and furniture and car seats and all of the things, that we have to get with a baby. It's an enormous expense. Babies and young children, and sometimes older children, can tax your emotions. Amen? It takes a lot of emotional energy to raise a child, to take care of a baby. It's taxing on your emotions. It's stressful at times. Being a mother is no easy job, and that is why we set apart this day to give honor to all of the wonderful women who are doing just that and caring for and loving our children. The same can be said for spiritual babies. In the church, when we have spiritual babies, when God is birthing things in his church and he's using his bride to birth babies, we want them to grow. We want to see them thrive just like a natural baby. We don't want to just keep it a baby forever. We want to help it grow. For spiritual babies, we have a job to do. The Lord wants his babies to grow. But his bride, the church, as a mother, has to be ready for those new babies, has to be ready to care for them, because spiritual babies take time. They take energy. They take money. Spiritual babies, discipling and raising up spiritual babies and teaching Bible studies and mentoring people and loving people and just spending time with people. It's going to take our time. It's going to take our energy. It's going to take money sometimes. It's going to take our emotional help. It's very taxing. And the question today is, are we ready? And are we willing to be the mother of God's babies? His new babies? Are we ready to spend time with them, to give of our energy, to give of our talents, to invite them into our home or into our families, to spend time with them, to break bread with them? Are we ready for the pain which inevitably comes when dealing with broken people? When dealing with people who are trying to find their way in God, are we ready for the emotional pain that comes with that? Because I know this today, God is ready for his church to birth some babies. God is always ready. He has always been ready. But as we said, he doesn't zap us with his Holy Ghost power and save us, but he uses the church like a mother to nurture and to care for and to grow and develop these babies. Motherhood takes perseverance and faithfulness. If you are a mother in the house today, you've had to persevere through some things. You've had to be faithful to that child. Those are two qualities that we don't see a whole lot of in our world today: perseverance and faithfulness. But I have come today to tell someone in this room to keep on keeping on. Don't give up. To our mothers, to women of God, keep on keeping on. Keep on raising those babies. Keep on bringing them to the church. Keep on teaching them the ways of God in your home. Keep on loving them. Don't give up. And to the church, as a mother, keep on keeping on. Now is not the time for the church to back down or be silent or to get tired or discouraged. But we have a job to do. We've got babies to take care of. We've got children to nourish and raise up in the truth. Women, I am a woman, so I can say this. Pastor probably couldn't say this. But sometimes as women, we get all up in our feelings. Women can be quite emotional. Yes, amen. Got a couple amens. But I want to just speak to that woman to woman today. Yes, God has given us our emotions, but we have to keep them in check. Because if we aren't careful, we will let our feelings and our emotions keep us from being who God has called us to be and keep us from being the mothers that we're supposed to be, keep us from doing the work of the Lord that we're supposed to be doing. The world is completely contradictory. They teach us the absolute opposite of this concept. They say, follow your heart. Do what feels good. If it feels right, then do it. But that is not what the Word of God says. Jeremiah 17 and 9 says, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? We cannot trust our heart, our feelings, our emotions. Sometimes we have to get outside of those because feelings are not facts. Repeat after me. Feelings are not facts. Amen. We all know that's true. But sometimes, women, we don't take the time to measure our feelings against the truth because we're eyeball deep in them. And sometimes we just like our feelings. Sometimes we just like the way that feels. When we are drowning in feelings of inadequacy, we fail to measure those feelings against the truth that it is God Almighty who called us to the task at hand, and it is He that will see it to completion if we are just a willing vessel. You are not inadequate. If God called you to it, He will see you through it. Amen. When we are muddling through feelings of jealousy, we don't recognize that what we are jealous of is a 4-second glimpse into someone's life, and they have it probably at least as hard in life as we do, maybe even harder. It's easy to look to people and say, oh, their life is so perfect and put together. It's easy to look at the ministry or look at me stand before you today and say, oh, their life is just perfect. If you only knew where the Lord had brought me from to where I am today, then you would know the reason why I love Him so. Feelings are not facts. Don't trust them. Feelings tell us that whatever we're feeling is truth, but feelings stem from our heart, from our emotional center. Our feelings are coming from a carnal flesh, and unless and until we bring those feelings daily to the feet of Jesus, we will not have them into subjection to the Holy Ghost. We can trust our feelings only when they line up with the Word of God. That's when they're trustworthy. When they don't, we must bring those feelings into captivity and into submission to the Spirit of God. Your feelings are not facts. Look at someone beside you and say, your feelings are not facts. Your feelings might be telling you those people are hateful, when the truth is they are broken and hurting and they need to be reconciled to the heart of Jesus. Your feelings might be telling you that you're not going to survive this season. You are not going to make it through this one. When the Word of God says you can do all things through Christ who gives you strength. Your feelings might be telling you that God made a mistake when He put you in your current role of ministry and serving or in motherhood. When God's word says that before He formed you, He knew you, and He doesn't make mistakes, and He orders your steps, and He has a plan for you. Amen. Your feelings might tell you a lot of things, but we cannot operate based on our feelings. Feelings are not facts. As Christians, we don't walk by feelings, but we walk by faith. Faith in the truth that we find in God's word. Faith in His character. When we can't see Him and we don't understand what He's doing, Instead of feeling that, we say, God, I trust you. I trust your character. I don't understand it, but I trust that you are with me. When we don't understand what's happening around us and things are changing, we know that he never changes. He is faithful. And we can lean on him through changing times. We can bring our feelings to Jesus today and every day, knowing that he is trustworthy. If you're a mom today, a grandmother, an aunt, aunts are awesome, by the way. That's right. I heard that. Aunts are awesome. We love all of our women who invest in us, right? There are spiritual mothers in this place who maybe you never have a child, but you are mothering spiritually and discipling younger women, and that's biblical. That's biblical. So if you are a mother of any kind today, if you are a woman of God in this room, someone is looking to you. Someone is watching you. Someone is listening to you. Someone is hearing your words. Someone is watching your actions. Someone is looking to you for help, for nourishment, for encouragement. If you're a Sunday school teacher, a children's ministry volunteer, a youth ministry volunteer, someone's spiritual mentor, somebody is looking to you. And if you're counted in the bride of Christ, men, women, children, all of us, his church, someone is looking to us. It's not the time for us to get fickle. It's not the time for us to be lukewarm. It's not time to be unfaithful or wavering. And it's not time to be guided by our feelings. You may feel like today you don't have much to offer. But in John 6, we read a story today about a little boy that didn't have a whole lot to offer. He had some loaves of some cheap bread that was made for the poor, and he had a couple of fish. Somebody sent him off that day to go sit at the feet of Jesus and hear him teach. Somebody made sure that he had some nourishment. You may feel like this boy, you don't have much to offer. But when our efforts meet with Jesus, then the miraculous happens. Every time that we give our all to him, he multiplies it. You don't have to have much today. And if you sit here today thinking, I don't have much to offer anybody, I've come to encourage you in the Holy Ghost that God has a plan and a purpose for you, that he wants to take your little bit and he wants to multiply it and make it much, and he wants to use it to be a blessing to somebody else. Regardless of what we feel this morning, we have to start packing some lunches. In Scripture, bread is always likened to the Word of God. This Word that is not based on feelings. This Word that is true. No matter what time or culture tells us, this Word never changes. It's always true. And His Word can go forth and it can encourage, and it can help, and it can uplift. So today, I'm challenging the mothers, the women, the church as a mother, that in this last hour, we need to start packing some lunches. We need to start getting some bread and putting it in a little sack and packing some lunches to share with people who just need some truth, who need to see the miraculous in their life. Regardless of how you and I feel, we just don't know what Jesus can do with our little bit. You know, there's something about miracles in this scripture. If you look at every time that Jesus performed a miracle, somebody had to do something.
Yeah.
Somebody had to have an act of faith in order to see that miracle happen. There again, he could just zap us with a lightning bolt of miracles, but he doesn't. He doesn't. He uses us in our faith. It's when we take that little bit that we have and we take our faith and we say, well, it's not much, but here you go, Lord. You can have it and you can do with it whatever you want to do, and I'll trust you. That's when the miraculous happens. Think about it. Every time Jesus performed a miracle, somebody did something. Rise up and walk. They had to rise up and they had to walk. Stretch forth your hand. They had to put out their hand. Give me your lunch. That little boy that day had to give up his lunch. And I just have to wonder, I'm a mom and I have a big imagination, so when I read the scriptures, I do this. I don't know who packed that little lunch for that boy, but if it was his mama and that's all he has, and he's thinking, my mama's going to kill me if I give this lunch away. This is all we had, just this meager lunch, but he shared it. Thank God that someone helped that little boy that day pack a lunch and get to Jesus. Thank God that someone helped him get together a few little pieces of bread, a couple fish. Thank God that somebody took the time to invest in him and get him before the master. If it was his mama that morning, thank God for her. Thank God that she didn't wake up that morning and say, oh, son, I am just too weary to help you pack a lunch today. I just don't have it in me. Oh, you know what? I'm so inadequate and worthless. I see the lunches the other moms are packing, and I can't do anything like that. Thank God she didn't say, you know what? I am so jealous of the neighbors because their lunch has something better than barley bread in it. No, that mama, if it was her, she got up and she said, I'm going to persevere and I'm going to be faithful and I'm going to give you what we've got, and Jesus is going to do the rest. There was someone counting on her, and there was someone counting on that little boy and his faith that day. There was a whole crowd of people, thousands and thousands of them, counting on him to be there in that place at that time and to trust in the Lord and to do what was asked of him. A whole crowd of people was counting on him. Mothers, your children are counting on you. Women of God, someone is counting on you. Church, a spiritual baby is counting on you. Someone is counting on this church. Someone somewhere today is counting on this church to go out into our city and to be the church and to take a little bit of bread, take a little bit of sustenance, and go share it. It's time for us to get out the lunch sacks. My husband likes props, so today I brought some props. Get out the lunch sacks. Because we've got people to reach. We've got lives to touch. We've got revival to have in this last hour because Jesus is coming and his church needs to get busy. We need to get out the sacks, mamas, and we need to invest in those babies. I can't see under the lights. Huntley, come here, buddy. I've been packing your lunch for a long time. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. You never forget that, baby. I packed it for you. Presley. Presley, the Lord's doing great things through you, bud. The world is going to be pulling on you. The enemy is going to be pulling on you. But you know what? Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. I packed you a lunch, baby. Hudson, come here, buddy. Acts 2:38 says, repent and be baptized and you will be filled with the Holy Ghost. It's coming for you one day. I packed you a lunch, buddy. Where's Bella? Bella, girlfriend, you can sing. You can sing, and the Bible says to sing unto the Lord. Use that gift, baby. Never, ever give that gift to anybody else. That gift is from Jesus. I packed you a lunch. We got to pack some lunches, church. We got to pack some lunches. Ladies, I know that there's some of us that have been going through a hard time. We've had challenges, but God is good. He is able to do exceeding and abundantly above all that you can ask or think. I packed you a lunch. He's our healer. The Bible says he will heal us of all of our diseases. He's going to touch your body. He's going to touch your mind. He's going to touch your mind. I packed you a lunch. It's time that the church starts packing some lunches. We got to get our lunch sacks out. We got to get the word, the bread, the sustenance. We got to start nourishing people. And it might not feel like we have much, but when we have this, this is all we need. This is all we need. This is what the world needs. This is what they're looking for. This is their hope. There are so many people without hope. So many people without hope. Can we all stand all over this place? I'm going to invite you to come to the altar now. Don't hesitate. Don't make us beg. Just make your way. Women, get up here and let's just pray together. Men, you can come in behind them. I want this word to get in our spirits, and I want us to always remember the Lord can use you. The Lord can anoint you. You don't have to have much today. He's planted you right where he wants you. One of my favorite passages of scripture, Psalm 100, verse 5. I love this whole little chapter, Psalm 100. Read it. In your devotional time at home, Psalm 100. It's talking about serving the Lord with gladness. You know, and there's those feelings again. Sometimes we don't feel like being glad. Paul said, I think myself happy. But verse 5 of this little chapter in Psalm says this, for the Lord is good. Pastor preached about that last Sunday. God is good. His mercy is everlasting. In this part right here, his truth endureth to all generations. Anytime you're reading in your King James Bible and you see that ETH, endureth, that means it goes on and on and on without stopping. It never stops. His truth will endure to all generations without stopping. His truth will be preached to all generations without stopping. How? That's a miracle. It's his church. It's his bride. It's the mothers in this room today that are reaching to that next generation. It's the faithful, the Sunday school teachers, the youth leaders, those who give up in their weekends and chaperone a youth event and stay up half the night and drink too many Red Bulls. It's those who invest in the kingdom. It's those who teach Bible studies. It's those who get out into the city and just love on people and just give them an invitation. Tell them about what God has done for you. You don't have to have much, just a testimony. His truth endureth to all generations. Someone is counting on us to keep this thing going, to advance his kingdom until he comes. We're the church. We're his bride, the bride of Christ. You can't stop us. His truth endures to all generations. You can't silence us. His truth endures to all generations. You can't make us quit. Devil, you can't trick us into being so discouraged that we quit and give up. Because his truth endureth to all generations. You can't deter us. You can't distract us. You can't divide us. You can't dissuade us because we are his church and someone is counting on us to pack a lunch and spread some truth to all generations. Let's pray all over this place. Lift up our hands. Lord, we thank you for your word today, Jesus. We thank you, God, for your word that is true. When all is hopeless and all seems lost, God, your word is true and it's powerful. It's our only hope. Talk to the Lord about this word. Make it personal this morning. Jesus, use me and anoint me, God. Help me, Jesus. Let me not be distracted. Let me not be deterred, God. Let me not be silent, God, but let me get out my lunch sacks and let me start packing some lunches. Let me be the church. Let us be the church that you've called us to be, Lord. Let us be women of God, proclaiming your truth to all generations. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Here's how I'd like to end this today. It's a little bit different, but I just feel prompted in the Holy Ghost. I want every lady here, and men, you're welcome to them, but I want you to take a paper sack, all right? If you can just maybe just start passing them around this way, take one and pass it along, and then I've got another stack we'll do over here. And you can take this sack with you. Just put it someplace where you're going to remember. Maybe tuck it in your Bible. People will say, why do you have a paper sack? Or as Brother Donald from Los Angeles, California says, a paper bag. We figured that out in the office this morning. He didn't know what I meant by sack. People will say, why do you have this paper sack in your Bible? And there you go. You can share. Well, you know what? There was a little lad who went to meet Jesus, and all he had was a lunch. Somebody probably helped him pack that lunch. And today we're going to make a commitment that we won't just pack a lunch for ourselves, but we're going to pack a lunch that we can share with the multitudes. We're going to pack a lunch for somebody so that then they can go and they can see the miraculous in their life. They can see the power of God. So once you get your sack, we're going to sing together. But I just want you, silly little thing, just a brown paper sack. Just hold on to that, treasure that, and know you have a purpose. You've got to spread some bread around. God wants to use each and every one of you in this room today. Let's worship with them as they sing.